All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the annual report workgroup meeting for the fiscal year 2024 cycle. I'm Seth Pazinski with the HHS Assistant Secretary for Technology Policy, and I'll be serving as your designated federal officer for today's call. As a reminder, this call is open to the public and we encourage public feedback throughout. Members of the public can type their comments into the Zoom chat feature. And we'll also have time for verbal public comments at the end of our agenda today. I'm going to start off with a roll call of the workgroup members. So when I call your name, if you could please indicate that you are present, and I will start with our co-chairs, Madel Briggs Melanson.
Hello, everyone. Good morning.
Hello. Elio Oliveira.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hans Butendijk. Hannah Galvin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Jim Gerges. Anna McAllister.
Good morning.
Good morning. Shiloh Blinn.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sarah DeSilvi. Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Kiki Loma Ashukantan. And Rochelle Prosser.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you. Is there anyone I missed or anyone who just joined us? Okay. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mandel and Eliel for their opening remarks.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Seth. And good morning slash I guess it's officially afternoon for some. As always, it's always great to come together with our annual report work group. We are moving quickly through the process, which is amazing. And I think we're going to really start shaping up the report. So we have a lot of great things that we want to get through on today's agenda. So looking forward to everyone's comments and feedback. So Eliel, I'll pass it on to you for your opening remarks.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you everyone for joining. We're excited to be here again for another round. We're getting closer and closer to finalizing our report for the year. And yes, it's looking great. So we really appreciate all the work you guys have been putting in, reviewing, providing recommendations, and we hope to hear some more today from you. So thank you for being here. Back to you, Mandel.
Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and just jump right on in. And so the first thing we're going to do is review our meeting agenda. We're going to provide an update on the work group plans, then go over a bit of the discussion of the draft crosswalk. We just have one area to really look at in terms of prioritizations. And so Elia will walk us through that too when we get to that point. And we'll make sure, especially for all the new members of the annual report work group, that it's very clear about what our objectives are as we go back over the draft crosswalk. But we're also going to save some time today to discuss the illustrative story ideas. Michelle, as well as the rest of the ASTP team, have actually proposed about a different story for each one of the target areas. And while we may not have the time to go in depth in each one of the story areas today, we at least want to present it so everyone can see them, so we can start our various different thought processes in order to refine them or add additional information to demonstrate the stories. And then, as always, we are going to end with public comment. So we really hope the public does have some additional thoughts that they want to provide here for the annual report work group. Next slide. So a bit of the update on group on work group plans. Next slide. As you can see, we are already halfway through our process, which is incredibly exciting. And so what we're doing today is that we are finalizing the crosswalk of topics and, most importantly, prioritizing them into immediate implementation versus delayed implementation. But everything's important. And then, as I mentioned, we're going to go over a preview of the illustrative story ideas. When we do come back together on September 23rd, we are also going to have a chance to review the draft fiscal year 24 annual report, which is also very exciting. And then also on the 7th, we are also going to continue to do another additional review of that draft report in preparation for the high tax review. And then we will continue to, after we actually receive all the information from high tech, when we do have our in-person meeting, we will continue to revise as well in order to get it prepared to submit it directly back to the full Committee of High Tech in November for its final review and approval. And then after it's approved by High Tech, then we will prepare the report for transmittal. Next slide. And so this is a schedule for the full Committee of High Tech, just so we know when we have to present out. So this upcoming Thursday, September 12th, we will provide a very concise update on all of the work that we are doing as a work group. And then on October 17th, when we're all in person, we will also have a chance to start to review the fiscal year 24 annual report. And then on November 7th will be the really big day of actually having the High Tech approve the annual report that this work group has initially crafted, but has incorporated all of the feedback from each of our High Tech committee members. Next slide. And so what are our next steps, especially since we're halfway through this process? So as mentioned, today we are going to go specifically over proposing clear tiers for the topics of each one of the various different target areas. And so Eliel will demonstrate what those two tiers are. And so again, everything is important. All of the topics that we have already identified for inclusion in the annual report, but we do want to say, is this topic something that we need to implement over the next 2 years, or do we need some additional foundation first before we as High Tech can actually push for some of the recommendations or assist with the recommendations, and that may be 3 years plus out. So that's what we'll do today. And as I mentioned, we'll go over as much as we can some of the illustrative story ideas for each one of our target areas. In addition, what we're going to do for the next steps is that we will present selected information from the draft crosswalks topics in order to present to in September 2024, meaning our next upcoming Thursday meeting. And then as mentioned, we are going to start to review the draft report. The team is already in the background starting to put some of the narratives together. So we'll be able to review that soon. And then after all the further edits, and starting on November 7th, we will have the official High Tech vote to approve the report, and that will be transmitted to the Assistant Secretary of Technology Policy and National Coordinator, of course, Dr. Mickey Tripathi, in November 2024. And then ASTP is then going to forward that final report to HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra, as well as the rest of Congress. Next slide. All right, so a little bit of the admin business is now all taken care of, and we can jump right on into the discussion of the draft crosswalk of topics. So Elia, I'll turn it on over to you so that you can lead us through the next steps.
Thanks, Michelle. So everyone, as Michelle said, we're gonna go.
Elia, not to put you on the spot. I know Michelle and Medell, there's two Michelles and Medell.
I know, with the M's. Okay,
exactly. Medell,
as Medell said, we are gonna go through our crosswalk, and it's important for all to just keep in mind that the task ahead, which is really to define what are the topics and that are immediate, in our opinion, and we realize that everything is immediate. But we really need to be making an effort to define also which ones could be long-term topics that need to be addressed. So that's the key goal of the discussion today. So we're going to go to the crosswalk and walk through them, the topics and the priority areas and the topics. And then after we walk through them, we're going to come back and propose that tier of long-term or immediate or long-term address, the proposed tier that we have for each one of them. So starting here with design and use of technologies that advance health equity, right? So that is our key area, and there's quite a bit under this. So the first one that comes to the topic, the first topic is use of artificial intelligence in health and healthcare. So that's number one, but again, there's several other ones. So I'm not gonna go over the gaps, challenges, opportunities. I think we have been through those before. So we're just going to go over each topic. So if you can scroll up a bit. Okay, and down. The next one is implementing health equity by design. And let's keep going. And it's in the use of technology that support public health, the other area that we have, the topic of optimizing public health data exchange and infrastructure. That's another topic that we need to consider. And let's keep going to the next. Under interoperability, supporting interoperability standards, laboratories, and pharmacies. Supporting image interoperability, improving long-term and post-acute care interoperability, improving behavioral health interoperability, further improvement of data quality and sharing. And I think we did talk a little bit about how that's important also for AI. So I'll make that connection there. Supporting data standards for maternal health. Next. And supporting data standards for diverse abilities. Next, provider use of AI in health and healthcare. And then on the privacy and security, we have privacy of sensitive health data. Lack of disclosure, accountability, transparency in use of de-identified data. We talked quite a bit about that. Next. Patient-generated data under the patient access to information on another topic, target area. Reducing patient burden, another one that we discussed quite a bit. And these are the fresh ones we discussed last time. And impact of on patients by the use of AI in health, in healthcare. And I think that gets us to the end of the list. So I know that's quite a bit to cover. And if we could start back on the top. And like I was saying, what we wanted to be doing here is defining the tier that we wanted for each one of those topic areas. And again, there are two: immediate, that will be, the calendar years of 2025 and 2026, or long-term, that will be the calendar year of 2027 and to 2030 and beyond. So I'll open up here then to see if any thoughts, topic by topic, if anyone has any suggestions about the proposed tier. I guess in my head, I'm assuming everybody's gonna be thinking everything is immediate, but what are the things then that we needed to consider for long-term? Rochelle, I saw you. There you go.
Wanted to follow predicate and raise my hand. So I'm traveling today, so I'll be off camera, but I just wanted to say, although I agree with this and use of AI, sometimes it is not fully prepared to be used in certain areas. And this recent article here from the Journal of Medicine in pediatrics just shows how it is not fully operational and borne out for childhood cancers, which also translates to other chronic diseases in childhood cancer. And although it is very important, if it's not fully developed yet, we can wait until it becomes more accurate in this instance here, but for adults, we can go forward. I'm willing to propose that only because of the challenges. It's going to take a lot more work to go forward. Children, babies at the AWOL communities are not full adults. They are different and should be treated different. And ChatGPT is and the use of AI is showing us that. And so we need to take heed and caution to ensure that we're not hurting communities. This is a great initiative, and I would say we can parse it. Thank you.
Oh, Eliel, do you mind if I have some thoughts in that response? Thank you. Rochelle, great points. All great points. And I think we're all on the same page. And just to frame this again for everyone, so Rochelle, one of the things that you just mentioned is exactly what we have proposed as a annual report work group. So if you remember some of the opportunities, we know that artificial intelligence, and especially when it comes to advancing health equity and justice, we know that it is not fully baked at times, as well as we have to ensure that it's not worsening health inequities, and that we're taking into account all populations in an equitable and inclusive manner. And so if this topic in itself, if you take a look at the challenges and the opportunities, highlight exactly what you said, and our proposed recommended high-tech activities are to make sure that we're developing more data quality and guardrails around this so that we are not advancing additional bias and inequities into health and healthcare, as well as into our technologies. So what we're trying to do in this exercise, and especially for all the new members to the annual report work group, is saying, do we need to advance our recommendations now, like meaning this is a very important topic for us to address from a policy standpoint, from a other additional recommendation to AST standpoint now, meaning this upcoming year, or do we think that these recommendations that we have as high tech can wait? And so I just wanted to make sure that we're very clear about the process here, because every single thing you said, Rochelle, is exactly right, which is what we have in this exact topic and opportunity and proposed recommendations. And so we're saying, do we want to push this now, or do we want to wait another couple of years?
I was putting an olive branch. I think we should put a fire under this and advance it now. But to be fair, I just wanted to put an olive branch. If there are those that are really entrenched as to why we shouldn't, I'm happy to take a step back, but we really should burn a bush under this.
Yeah.
So it sounds like one vote for immediate.
Yeah, thanks, Rochelle. Yeah, you're fine. Thanks, Rochelle. Yeah, I think you made an excellent point that this is an immediate one. So I think I'll just pause here for a second to see if anybody disagrees. But I also believe that this is a topic of immediate attention.
This is Anna. I just wanted to confirm. So we're talking specifically about the use of the AI within the clinical setting, correct? Because I mean, I have some concerns about establishing guidance or guidelines. Sorry, I probably should have raised my hand or something. My apologies. I have concerns about clinical guidance or guidelines that are regulatory guidance or rules that would restrict the use of ChatGPT for, you know, outside of the clinical setting, because a lot of patients are using it quite a lot, and there are a lot of stories about the benefits of it. I'm not saying that I think it's perfect and that it, you know, is 100% on, you know, target and that there aren't issues with it, but I would have significant concerns if we were making recommendations that would restrict access to it.
Yeah, that makes sense, Anna. I think the specific here is related to, you know, health equity, right? And how we are going to prevent biases. And I think, you know, there are, as you recall, other topic areas in other, you know, target areas that we talked about AI as well. So for this one here, I think it's focused on that. And of course, that's related to being used in healthcare. But with that said, I want to hear what Rochelle and Adele have to say as well. They have their hands up. So Rochelle, go ahead first.
I'm so sorry, Rochelle, really quickly. I just want for clarification. So we keep it targeted and focused because we have a lot to tiers. No, Anna, this was not referring to large language models or anything else per se. This is just, and this isn't recommending restrictions at all. If as we when we did this and when we created this, this is just saying we even number one for the proposed recommended high tech activity is explore the steps in collaboration with others in order to see how the data quality is related to AI models. So our recommendations so far are not referring to restricting anything, but more of all of us exploring, especially AI for this in health and healthcare, to ensure that we identify where there's gaps and we can ensure that we're creating appropriate policies to support responsible and ethical use of artificial intelligence across populations. And again, further down in the AI, in the crosswalk, we have AI uses by providers. And I also believe maybe not, but in our patient section too, I think we have a little some sprinkles of AI there too. So this is not recommending restrictions of anything. It's just going deeper and having recommendations of let's explore where the gaps are and then see what we can do about having appropriate governance in order to build out more just and ethical AI for everyone.
Thanks, Madel. And I'll add another point here is to say, yes, we want to go through this quickly to define what's immediate, what's long-term, because we have another part of our meeting today that's to talk about the user stories. And that we're going to need to go into a lot more detail. So we want to reserve some time for that. But the second thing I was going to say is that then once we have that tier definition today, you're going to receive this table again with that tier to be able to think through. And in the next meeting, we're going to review that tier that we assigned today to make sure that it's the appropriate immediate or long-term priority for each topic. So just want to keep everybody in line that we need to move through this quickly to address the user stories, which is quite important as well. And Rochelle, I see your hand.
Yes, I just wanted, thank you, Madel. I just wanted to respond to Anna and what I had posted. That was showing a gap where AI can do better and why we need to move forward now to ensure that we have health equity in the clinical space, not relating to a restriction of chat GPT in general, but the use of AI in the clinical space is showing that we can do better and improve. And just making sure that we have health equity across the board.
Thanks, Rochelle. Stephen?
Points. I think we need to make sure we include things like clinical trials as being in scope. So it's not just clinical care in the most narrowly defined setting, but things like clinical trials become important. I think it's also valid to lay out something about the quality of AI in terms of, and safety, in terms of looking at AI issues where it can't count the number of R's properly and the word strawberry or things like that. Not that that should be a limiter or be an immediate burden, but understanding what those limitations are so that everybody has an understanding of what those limits are so that we're not using AI to make bad, poorly informed decisions.
Thanks, Stephen. So just to make sure that we keep moving efficiently here, I think we have a proposal that this is an immediate area of attention to add to our proposed tier column. Yes, I think those comments, Stephen, we could consider some things related to on that front as well. But one question back to everybody is, does anyone, it doesn't seem that way, but I want to be clear before we jump to the next one. Does anyone disagree that this requires immediate attention? I don't think that's the case. If it is, raise your hand. Otherwise, we're going to move to the next one so we can keep moving. And also under health equity, implementing health equity by design. So this is something that we've talked quite a bit before. You guys have heard from ONC a long time ago when it used to be called ONC about health equity by design. and you see the recommendations that we have listed here, right? Developing action toolkits and odd policies and standards and so on and so forth. Is this something that the team here feels that is an immediate tier or something that can be left for long term, which will be 2027 and beyond? Thoughts, comments? No.
Oh, I already know that there's thoughts. We would love to hear the work group's thoughts on, because that way, you know, we can actually have that discussion and go through each topic. So any thoughts on this?
So maybe undefined for this one and we move to the next one.
Well, Elia, I'll just put it on out there that this is already something that ASTP is moving forward with as we speak. So I think that it is immediate because ASTP is already committed to this work. And I think that we as HITECH can continue to support their work, not only through the task force that we'll be launching, but also through all of our other expertise on the HITECH committee, as well as bringing in additional experts. So I would say that this is immediate because ASTP has, this has always been a priority for ASTP ONC.
Thank you, Madel. And I saw Hannah and Rochelle's hand coming up and down, but I...
Yeah, I was just agreeing with Madel.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. Great. So let's move on to the next one then. So here we are in use of technologies that support public health. So optimizing public health data exchange and infrastructure. And we propose several recommendations to HITECH that you can see listed here, three of them. Invite TAFICA, RCE to provide updates, identify best practices and challenges for SDLT, and so on and so forth. So the question here is, these are immediate or long-term tier? And Rochelle, I saw your hand.
I would vote for immediate. We actually have some committees looking at moving or adopting or advancing this. ASTP is already working on this.
Chyla? You're on mute.
Yep, I got it. I was just wondering on here, you know, the opportunities with optimizing public health data exchange, talking about networks, do we want to include in there also opportunities of not just TEPCA, but health information exchange networks along with other networks, since there is health information exchange networks in all states and a lot of them are already working with public health?
I think that's a good suggestion, Shyla. It might be something for Michelle and others to consider. I had no issues on that. Do you also believe that this is an immediate or long-term priority?
I think it is immediate and long-term. They've been working with public health for years. I know for ours, for example, had a lot of infrastructure in place with public health even before COVID, and especially as HIEs transition to health data utilities, there's going to be more opportunities for them with utilizing the data already available through health information exchanges, health data utilities.
Great, thank you. Jim?
Yeah, hey, thank you. Yeah, I can provide some color here. Number one, I think it is immediate. I think TEFCA, there's tons of plans. We have the implementation centers up. So right now, public health authorities are submitting their proposals for funding across the country to do case reporting, but also TEFCA. So it's perfect timing to check in both with the RCEs, but also the public health jurisdictions and the HIEs. What we're learning is multiple EMRs are becoming QHINs, and they're eager to participate in public health TEFCA. So I think public health TEFCA is a clear and present opportunity. I also think that, you know, if this is an ONC thing, right, that we're annual report, then I think the use of FHIR and US CDI Plus may be good check-ins as well. And it may be that there's an opportunity for the Office of Public Health Data, Surveillance and Technology, the office, my boss is our office, to have us kind of update, because the public health data strategy could be something that informs HITECH that will help then determine what future public health work would be useful. Those are my recommendations.
Thanks, Jim. Good thoughts, Madel.
Yeah, I completely agree with Shyla and Jim. I also think that this is immediate. And Shyla, to your point about some of the additional networks, and Jim was just mentioning it as well, underneath the opportunity, I think, Shyla, you may have mentioned it, or somebody else, Jim may have mentioned it, or someone else. And that's why we have other networks. But to both of your points, it may be something that we just make sure that it's very clear that yes, it's TEFCA, but it's also some of these other information exchanges that are already in flight. So that may just be a comment back to Michelle and the team to make sure that we maybe have a little bit more of examples of what we mean by other networks, just because of all the amazing work that's already being done by other entities. But I too also agree that this should be immediate.
Agreed. Thanks, Madel. Stephen.
Yes, I think it's also important to include the viewpoint of the stilts through organizations like CSTE and others, so that we're not looking solely at a federal perspective.
Great points. Great point. So I think what I'm hearing here, there's no doubt that this is an immediate tier for us for this area. And with that, Jim, you have another point before we move on?
Yeah, to Ike's point too, I think that that CFTE, the partners, are useful, but I think ASTHO is also an important one, because they're actually point on, yes, they're one of the points on the implementation centers around TEFCA. So I want to agree with Ike and then add ASTHO, because yes, the planning for public health and how it's engaging TEFCA is them. Thank you.
That's absolutely true. And Japheth, I did not mean to be limiting in any shape or manner, just trying to be conservative on time.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephen. Madel.
Thanks, Eliel. Just to kind of highlight and just for clarification, so make sure we're all on the same page. Ike, we do have the STLT Public Health Authority, so that that's underneath the proposed recommended HITECH activities. Is that enough, or are you referring to something else? Because I think, Ike, your point was well taken, because I believe you brought that up, which is how we incorporated that into the recommended activities. Is this what you were referring to underneath number two, under the proposed recommended HITECH activities, or was it something else?
I think that's it, but again, it's part of that discussion, because the technology choices we're making are not solely at the federal level. There are state and local needs as well, and looking at state and local networks that may or may not be connected to TEFCA.
True. Thanks, Stephen. All right. Any objections? Otherwise, I think this is an immediate need, and we can move to the next topic. Okay. Let's keep moving. So interoperability, there's quite a bit here. Support interoperability standards, laboratories, and pharmacies. And I think this has a lot to do with what we just talked about. At the same time, that's a very hard problem, especially for the labs, I think. So the question then back to you all again, is this an immediate or long-term, you know, priority for us? Yeah, no.
So I would say this is immediate, right? And I think that ASTP is already doing some of this work, right, with the pharmacy interoperability work group that took place this past year. So I know that we don't want to list everything as immediate. I did take a look down our list, and I don't think we will be, but I do think that this is something that ASTP is already working on and is essential as we start to scale interoperability, that we have appropriate standards for these ancillary services.
Thanks, Hannah. I'm thinking here, I'm going to change my question and ask, should this be a long-term topic? Because then if I get any hands up, then we can talk about that. But it seems like we have a lot of immediate. So Shaila, that's your hand.
Yeah, and mine's somewhat a question or suggestion, depending on what the answer is. But as we talk about standards for labs and pharmacies, I know we work with pharmacies. Is that included in that identifiers, things collected for like master patient index? Because I know one challenge faced is that once you start getting, we saw it really bad during COVID, these Senian labs and different things that don't have the same identifiers, it has a little bit harder time on the patient indexing system. So I was just wondering if that's a part of the standards that we're going to be discussing or if we can suggest it.
Yeah, I think, Shaila, my thought on, it's a great point, right? If we can't link people to the right pieces of data, it becomes hard, right? I don't know if we have considered that here, but I think the USA or AT project was aimed at trying to address just that, right? What are the key demographics and other pieces of data elements that are necessary to make sure that linkage is happening appropriately. I think that was a great project. I'm not sure how much on the ground has taken place, really. I recall just a year or two ago, we had a funded project by ONC to do some, you know, linkage, and we're not able to do so using USCDI because the standards and what the HRs are capturing are not the same thing. So
you're saying it's a long-term vision, what I'm asking, like, to help resolve that.
I think for that specifically, I'll say yes.
Okay.
But for labs and pharmacies, I think without it, we are not going to be able to do much with the previous topic that just we went over. So maybe I'll turn to Rochelle and then Stephen, see what other thoughts there are, and we can circle back.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Ike, and thank you, Sheila. I do believe, based on Sheila's comment and Hannah's comment, I do believe it's both an immediate and a long-term issue, because it's going to take time to be able to ensure we have appropriate interoperability based on standards, headers, patient identified data, and outcomes. And so I believe it's both immediate now, because we are working on it now in different departments across the government, but it also requires a long-term look as we come to a consensus on what that standardization will be.
I haven't thought about days in those terms, but I kind of agree with both of you as well, immediate and long term, because the labs especially is a very hard challenge. Thank you for sharing, Stephen.
Elio, before yes. I jumps in, just to address that, one thing that we have done in the past for our annual report work group is we have had recurring themes. And because there are some themes, as we know, are topics that it's going to be top of mind for us from year to year to year to year. And so that is one idea for this topic, where, yes, there's an immediate approach or immediate phase, but we know that this is going to be a topic that we need to continue to address until we reach where our goals are. So that this may fall, as in many others actually too, this may fall into one of our recurrent themes, similar to how we've had them in the past reports.
Yeah. Thanks,
so, may I ask one more question?
Well, I'm going to build on what you just said and suggest we splinter the topics a little bit and call one filling interoperability gaps. And then maybe a second that's advancing interoperability to really call attention to, we do have some entities that are currently lagging behind where we'd like to be for basic interoperability, but then recognizing that we can continue to grow interoperability across the entirety of the domain. And looking at the filling the gap piece, I do think the laboratories and pharmacies are certainly there, but I do think we also have issues around long-term care and public health, especially looking at resource allocations and finding resources, because that's another, you know, opportunity or gap or challenge in that space, that while there were billions of dollars allocated to healthcare providers through promoting interoperability and meaningful use, those dollars are no longer really available as incentives, but long-term care, public health, and other entities are facing very similar hurdles if they hadn't started, and it's a tough hill to climb.
Yes, totally agree, Stephen. And I think we have another, you know, topic on that, which is to advance interoperability for long-term post-acute care and other organizations with that. I agree, it should be take immediate attention as well. So I think we're good with this one here, which is immediate and ongoing, or both immediate and long-term. So if we could move forward, unless if anybody has any disagrees.
I do think that relabeling will help clarity at a glance. And I think there's value in that so that people can understand what are the goals and what's the time frame for the goals.
Right.
And your points are well taken. And Shell and the rest of the ASTP team, of course, are listening to all of this. And we'll see exactly what some of their thoughts are in terms of how that can potentially be incorporated. But your points are well taken.
Yeah, and keep an eye on the next version of the crosswalk before our next meeting, which should include some of those comments. Thank you, everybody. All right, next is supporting image interoperability. Does anyone believe that this is a short-term or immediate or long-term challenge? Rochelle?
I think this is one of the Nadel mentions where it's immediate, but because our partners are working on this now, but also long-term. So what was the term you came up with, Nadel? Ongoing?
Yes, this is one of our recurring, like we're going to have recurring topics. And so that's what we've actually used in some of our past annual report work, our past annual reports. We've had recurring topics.
I vote for a recurring topic on this.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have that vote. It's either. Yes. So what happens, a recurring topic is when it continues to come up in our annual report work group. And so the idea behind this is that we only have two options that we can select from: immediate, meaning we need to start this work in this upcoming year, or no, we don't have to start this work. We can actually delay it until 2027 or beyond. So for a couple of years, because maybe there's additional pre-work that's needed before we implement this topic. But as the annual report work group convenes every single year, it's not unusual for us to go back to a specific topic that may say like, okay, we accomplished this phase, but now we have to move on to the second phase, and therefore it becomes a recurring topic within our annual reports that are submitted. So we only have two options to select for now, or let's wait till 2027, but that doesn't mean that the work group cannot come back and every single year say, this is still a high priority. A perfect example patient-generated health data has been a recurring topic. Interoperability in several different ways has been a recurring topic. Various different aspects of health equity have been a recurring topic. So that's what I mean by some topics. And PGHD is, I think, a perfect example, because we're trying to all get PGHD to where we think we should be as a country in terms of thinking about those use cases and implications of patient-generated health data. So two decision points, only two options, but we can continue to understand that this will likely be a recurring topic in the annual reports to come.
I feel that it's important because our colleagues in different agencies are currently looking at this right now, and it's part of the president's initiative.
Thanks, Osha. Stephen, you have some comments as well?
Yeah, just a friendly amendment to number two of the proposed recommendation. We need to include something about standardized interoperability, not just interoperability.
I'm sorry, Steve, I missed the last point.
All right. Looking at number two under proposed recommended actions, we need to include standardized interoperability, not just interoperability.
Right.
And perhaps looking to develop a set of standards or work with stakeholders to encourage development of standards, perhaps based around whatever's finalized in HDI2.
Makes sense. Thank you for that comment, Stephen. Like we mentioned earlier, I think the Excel team is taking note, and I want to keep moving. So Anna, you had some comments as well?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, in terms of recommended actions, I mean, interoperability obviously is critical, but one of the biggest issues is that patients can't access their imaging data. The only thing that they are given is the option of requesting it in a like a CD or DVD or whatever. And most people don't even have those anymore. So in addition to making it interoperable from physician to physician, just coming up requiring real accessibility for patients, because the technology that is offered is something that most people don't have. So I don't know if it's web-based, whatever the technology, I don't really care. But right now, the option to be able to view your images is kind of moot, because nobody has CD or disk drives anymore.
This is Steve. I'm not saying it's not an issue. There is language specific in HDI2 that at least partially addresses the issue by requiring links or HTTPS links to be published, providing access to imaging. Again, I'm not saying that satisfies all issues, but it is a start that is included in HDI2.
Excellent points. Any other final thoughts here on this? I think we all agreed how the immediacy of support imaging interoperability. And I think if anyone disagrees and believes this is long-term, I don't think so, but raise your hand. Otherwise, you see two other topics here, which is improving long-term post-acute care interoperability and behavioral health interoperability, which I think we touched on already earlier. And so I'm going to assume this is immediate, unless if anybody want to raise their hands and believe that that's long-term instead. Otherwise, I want to get moving. Like Medel is saying here, we should transition to these stories in a second. So let's keep moving. If anybody has any disagreements and want to make something long-term, raise your hand, please. Can we scroll up, down? Please. And so here we have further improvement of data quality and sharing. Long-term, immediate.
This is Shiloh. I think that is a fairly immediate need when it comes to other items such as public health and the needs of data. So it would be long-term, but I feel it's an immediate need to improve it.
Agree, Shiloh. Otherwise, we can't deal with many of the other things we just discussed. So if anyone disagree and believes it's long-term, please raise your hand. Otherwise, the next one is supporting data standards for maternal health. Do you believe it's an immediate need or could be one of the long-term ones? Immediate need from Rochelle. Anyone else? Medell?
You know, I know we're saying everything's an immediate need, and so we may have to review this at the end, but I do think that this is an immediate need due to one, the abysmal maternal health outcomes that we have in this country compared to many of the other higher income countries within our world. But then also, of course, the horrible epidemic that impacts Black women when it comes to maternal health outcomes. But the other thing too is that there's a large number of initiatives that are coming down at a federal level as well as state level in many different areas of the country that are also prioritizing maternal and child health outcomes. So I think that this has to be an immediate need given the rest of the ecosystem and how fast additional regulation, which depends on data, is actually performing. So I, of course, vote for immediate need.
Thanks, Madel. So raise your hand if you disagree. Let's keep moving to the next one. See how much we can achieve today. So we have here also supporting data standards for diverse abilities. As an immediate, I see you smile, Michelle. Madel. Not Michelle. Hannah?
I'll just say that some states are already doing this, right, or already requiring reporting on diverse abilities and accommodations. And so for that reason, I would say it's immediate because if states define their own value sets here, that can limit interoperability in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Agree, Hannah. Anyone disagree? Raise your hand. Otherwise, next one, provide use of AI in health and healthcare. I think we already had one vote on AI previously. But this is in terms of standards and interoperability. My personal opinion here, this is an immediate need. Anything related to AI needs some attention right away because it's just too wild how fast it's gone. But that's my only comment there. Anybody else has any comments on this one? Hearing none, let's move on to the next. Thank you, Shiloh. So here we are in privacy and security, privacy of sensitive health data. I can't say that this is probably an ongoing, ever-going topic area, but there are specific recommendations here that we should consider them to be immediate steps or not. Additional certification needs. I think you all have seen how much data breaches we have had and hacking activities. So is this a long-term? Anyone? Hannah?
So I'll just say briefly, and unfortunately I'm gonna drop off at the top of the hour.
I know.
I do think this is immediate because it is happening currently, right? We are doing this work to build terminology value sets. We are doing this in response to some of the legislation that has been enacted in the past year and a half with the Dobbs decision and criminalization of data, right? And so we are building out standards, reference implementations of some of the standards for granular consent management and data segmentation. So this is actually happening currently, and ONC, or so ASTP, has been involved, and that continued involvement, I think, is very important to have a national framework, and again, not having states, as I said before, right, developing sort of their own frameworks, which limits interoperability, as opposed to having a national framework, which helps to promote interoperability. I do have to jump off, but I wanted to say very briefly that the following two topics that are related to this about having lack of disclosure, accountability, and transparency in the use of de-identified data, those were the two that I marked as long-term. Not that I don't think that we need them immediately, but I do think that they are dependent on some of the work that we are doing in this one, in developing the standards and the terminologies around the privacy of sensitive data. And so I actually don't think that they can successfully be done immediately. And I think that they require the work that is being done in this topic to enable them to be done in future states. So that's why I would vote for those two to be long-term. So thanks so much.
I agree with all you said, Hannah, this and the other next two as well. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much. I'm sorry, I got to run.
Thank you, Hannah, for that. That was amazing. Thank you.
Jim?
Yeah, hey, I wanted to make a comment on the privacy of sensitive health data segmentation stuff. I think as long as we keep with the words evaluate, explore, absolutely it's immediate because it's pressing. I know that there's been challenges in, we all have the intent of wanting to protect those things, but the promise of being able to do it flawlessly has been the challenge. You know, I think we all think in terms of discrete data that we could, you know, create interfaces where patients or others could, you know, identify, or systematically we could identify. But then you get the women's reproductive health where somebody mentions a fetus, right? And one of the, and I think there's a challenge with, you know, so I love how it's worded, look at models, figure out how to do it. But one of the challenges, as we all know, has been creating even the perception by patients and others that we are protecting all of the data that could be sensitive is a challenge right now. Maybe AI and machine learning will help us to scrub some of the narrative that that some of that data can poke out from, right? But that was my only comment is I think we're still in the how do you actually do it mode. I think everyone agrees that we should. The question is how feasible and how do you do it in a way that truly protects. Those are my only comments.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I completely agree. And we can't even have consent granularly to be able to decide what to do or not about someone's privacy. So great points there. So I believe we are at the top of the hour and we wanna move into the user stories. I think we got to 80% of the topics here, and maybe we need to park then and finalize next call. Michelle, do you agree? We want to deal with these stories at this point.
Yes, Eliel. I think that we can go on to the next section. I think we only have two more in this, but we do want to make sure that everybody does see the stories, because when we do have our meeting the next time, we do want to make sure that our stories, that we have some additional context to them. So Excel, if we can just take this down, but we did capture Hannah's vote for the next two topics underneath the privacy and security section. She voted for those next two topics to be long-term, because just like what Hannah mentioned and what Jim, all the great points that Jim brought up, we still have to figure this out, even how to do it appropriately. So I do want to make sure that that's on record in terms of us considering when we do come back during our next meeting, starting off in that section. So discussion of illustrative story ideas. Before we jump into the stories, I want to provide some feedback or some background. especially for all of our new members on the annual report work group. Last year, or maybe 2 years ago now, it's hard to, all the years kind of blend together beautifully. One of the ideas that came out for our annual report was there to be stories that are attached to each of the target areas that essentially demonstrate the future state of where the recommendations that we're providing in that target area can get us to as a country. And so the story ideas is that, so while it's a very kind of technical and all the things that we're recommending, anyone can pick up the story and say like, oh, wow, we can clearly understand where high tech is going and what they're thinking about in terms of making those recommendations and what the future state of health and healthcare can look like if we implement those recommendations. So that's the background behind these stories. And so these are hot off the press, truly. Like, so all of us are really seeing them essentially for the first time. And so what we're gonna first do is go over each one of these different story ideas. And I ask for each of you to really think about, is this the right type of story to highlight the recommendations of that target area? Is this the right type of context that we want to include that will make this very clear for others to read and understand? And is it hitting the point that we as the work group and as larger high tech really feel that the point should be solidified in? So we're going to go through each one of the different story ideas. And we do have maybe about, I'm looking, about 20 or so minutes in order to try to get through some ideas and elicit a little bit of feedback. But during our next meeting, what we want to do is finalize that prioritization of the crosswalk, those last couple target areas, and finalize the illustrative story. So let's move to the next slide. All right, so the first one, so on the slide, it actually had everything that I was saying, that these stories are supposed to be aspirational, demonstrating examples of what the recommended high-tech activities will enable in the future, rather than just describing the current state. And the following initial ideas are, again, we're going to go through each one of the target areas. So the first one, focus on the first target area of health equity, addressing bias in AI models for clinical care. So here's the idea. A health system dermatology department uses an AI tool trained on diverse data, including minority group representation. Clinicians can better diagnose skin conditions on darker skin tones with this user-friendly, transparent AI tool. Staff training and bias mitigation have improved diagnosis speed and reduced disparities in treatment of cancer, psoriasis, and eczema. So those are some initial ideas, okay? One quick question. Do you all want me to go through all of the story ideas and then we see if we have time for feedback right now, or we can actually get elicit a little bit of feedback as we're going on? Not too much, but just a little bit, because I do want to try to get through all of the different ideas.
No, my vote would be to hear all of them first.
Wonderful. All right. I was leaning that way too as well, Jim, so that we can put it all together. So that is health equity. All right. Let's now move on to the next story idea. Public health, leveraging TEFCA for a viral outbreak. A female patient visits an urgent care clinic in the evening complaining of cough and fever. Her health data are updated in real time through the TEFCA during her urgent care visit. Public health authorities use the de-identified data to identify and monitor a viral outbreak in her town. The TEFCA enables collaboration among state, tribal, local, and territorial authorities, ensuring resources are deployed efficiently to outbreak hotspots. That's the public health story idea. Next slide. Interoperability, enhancing post-surgical care coordination. A senior patient is transferred from the hospital to a post-acute care facility after hip replacement surgery. The post-acute care facility uses a certified health IT module for seamless data exchange with providers. Radiological images and progress reports are shared with the surgeon and primary care provider, ensuring coordinated care. The availability of post-surgery recovery data aids follow-up care with imaging updates added to the patient's longitudinal record. So that was interoperability. Next slide. Privacy and security, accessing PHI disclosures. A patient with sickle cell anemia has been seeing her hematologist for 5 years and participated in a sickle cell study at her doctor's suggestion. She is concerned about her privacy and curious about where her protected health information has been disclosed. A new patient portal feature of the hematologist EHR system allows patients to request an accounting of PHI disclosures for the past 6 years, in accordance with recently enacted HIPAA regulations. The feature was developed through a public-private partnership between the federal government and medical providers to simplify the disclosure tracking process. The system tags PHI disclosures, presenting the information in layperson's terms at a sixth grade reading level. Next slide. Patient access to information, reducing patient burden. A woman who speaks English as a second language sees multiple healthcare providers in different networks for several health conditions, resulting in extra effort to gather her health data from various specialists. Health IT developers have implemented features such as multiple languages, instructions in plain language written at a sixth grade level, and both digital literacy and health information tutorials. As a result of the new patient portal functionality, she spends less time coordinating her care. And I believe that this was the last story idea because that is our fifth target area, but let's just make sure. Next slide. Excellent. Okay, so let's go back to health equity now that we've seen all of the various different illustrative stories. So we'll go back to the very first target area and we'll see if anybody has any additional info. And I know this may need to sink in because even for me, I'm reading this almost for the first time and I already have some ideas, but want to kind of stew over it a little bit. But we'll open it up to see if there's any questions or any additional revisions. So I recognize that your hand is up.
Thank you much. Looking at the first, I'm looking at all five of them kind of collectively, rather than kind of going one by one. I do think that we don't have anybody with a rare condition in any one of the cases. There are also some factual issues around the use of de-identified or identified information in looking at public health investigation, case monitoring, and case investigation.
Thank you so much.
Two observations.
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No worries. Those are my two observations.
Okay. Thank you so much for those. And that's exactly why we're discussing them. And I love the fact that you're looking at this comprehensively, because I have some thoughts too about that from a comprehensive standpoint. But then also we do want to make sure that what's being presented is factual as well. So thank you for those. That's exactly why we're going to review these.
And just to add, I will be happy to help correct the public health reporting stuff.
Yes. And because you as well helped out significantly with the last annual report. So we would appreciate that from you and the rest of our public health colleagues on the line. So think about those things. I'm going to go to Rochelle. I see your hand. That's up next.
Thank you, Madel. On most of it, I can agree but there are some parts where I truly disagree. And it's under the addressing health equity. And it is routinely known that because of skin and the melanin in the skin, there is disparity to treat, to diagnose, to understand, and to act. And that also goes with drug reactions. And so if we are able to use clinical care, and I would say clinical care and clinical trial and drug use, I'm happy of that. Just to broaden it a little bit, to bring in some of Ike's topic, but this is a very serious issue in a very large population, although minority population, but a very hot topic. And so I do see where this is representative in a overarching generalized comment that can address clinical trials in other areas without spelling everything out.
Thank you so much, Rochelle. And so to your point, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, there are several studies and observations in the world of artificial intelligence, machine learning, other neural networks, and especially as it pertains to its ability to diagnose disorders or other diagnoses in various different shades of people's skin color. And we know that a lot of the historic models did not actually have diverse and representative data in order to help to support the AI tools in diagnosing some of these various different skin conditions, as well as very important diagnoses. And just to like reframe it, the idea, and that's why we're having these conversations, and we'll have some time to stop and everybody give their comments, like probably on paper and send them in, because what we're trying to do is demonstrate the pod, like where our technology can lead us, right? We're trying to demonstrate in these illustrative stories that if technology is developed and implemented and monitored and tested appropriately, how it can improve overall health and health outcomes, and how it can, for instance, in this one particular area, advance health equity and justice. So that's why I think this was used as an illustrative story, precisely to your point, Rochelle, of making sure that since we know that there's been such significant inequities in this space when it comes to dermatologic diagnoses, the idea is that we're trying to address the biases in these models so that we can achieve a better state of health outcomes for all. So great, I want you to definitely take a look at some of these different the languages here, and we'll incorporate all everyone's thoughts and revisions so that we can make this as accurate and also as forward-facing. These are forward-facing stories as much as possible. So thank you for those comments. Jim, you're up next.
Yeah, comment. First of all, on this first slide here, having been at HCA, we actually looked at using a tool like that. And one of the benefits was it's AI for, you know, most of what we know comes from Caucasian skin. Mm-hmm. And the promise of this and why we loved it is because it actually allowed you to bring in the diversity of skin color and how it affects so that you could study it and treat people better. So I'm just adding some real world, you know, that's a great example and it's real, it's out there, right? The other one is a comment is about the public health. And maybe Ike, we can talk meet about this too, because if you're talking about factual and you know what's happening right now with TEFCA, one of the compelling use cases that we might consider that would also include the rare condition piece that Ike you mentioned, is the use of what's live right now and is going to be spread over this next year is the ability to for case investigators to use TEFCA with a viewer on top to follow up on case reporting. And both, it's highly portable. It's an example of a use of TEFCA. It's very lightweight because it doesn't require a lot of technical lift by the jurisdictions. It's a freestanding viewer. The connection is just to connect to a queue and get the TEFCA data. And the CDC is working on a tri-TEFCA viewer that fits case investigation. The reason I mentioned we should talk is because that use case is real, present, needs, you know, we're getting the providers to connect. There's also a use case for what's the program called that the CDC, I'm blanking on it, that deals with rare and impactful diseases that come up across the country rarely. There's also a CDC use case to get permissions to be able to, while on the phone with state public health case investigators, to be consulted and both be looking at the same record. So I don't know how wedded we are to that use case, but I might suggest that maybe Ike and I and whoever else is interested in public health take a spin at a story. But I don't want to be audacious if this is the story that we're wedded to.
Jim, this is Shiloh. Were you referring to just the syndromic surveillance system with the rare impactful ones?
No. You mean ones? As far as which program? I'm so sorry. Embarrassed. I'm forgetting the name.
No, it's fine. I kind of know, but I was like, well, I was just curious.
Yeah, I think the nice thing about the TEFCA viewer on top of, you know, query is that there's so many different use cases for anything that needs to be followed up on, rare or common, day-to-day, It could be used in a local health department. It could be used in a state health department. So just to, Medela,
yep,
what I don't know is how, are these, is the cement dry on these or is this?
The cement has barely been poured.
I'd love to dream up a great story together.
Yeah, and that's what I think, that that's an incredibly important piece. We have so many public health experts. We have so many health equity experts. We have so many, you know, patient data and advocacy experts. These are stories that the team has originally put in front of us, but we absolutely have the ability to recommend what we think may be most illustrative and most impactful. And so, Jim, I would say if you and Shyla and Ike and others, and Brian, like if you all want to come together to envision a great story idea for this annual report, that's why we're all here. We appreciate Michelle as well as the rest of our ASTP colleagues for putting something in front of us. But we also want to make sure that we are incorporating all the expertise that we have from the work group. So I would say absolutely. We just have to make sure that it's in the timeframes that we need to have it in so that we can execute on developing the rest of the report. So thank you for recommending for you all to get together and envision a story there. And if any of the other stories, that's one of the things I'm planning on some things on the health equity aspect. So yes.
Just I volunteered Ike and others, so I want to make sure that they can weigh in, that they agree and are willing.
I would gladly do so. I was thinking about it a little further. One of the things we may want to do is expand our user stories a little bit, thinking about the American population as a whole, and thinking about getting them engaged in the idea of health information exchange. So it may be very worth our while to invest in a story focused on elderly, invest in a story looking at a mother or parent and healthcare for their family and or their children. And as an add-on, I think it's important looking at people being engaged in their healthcare, not looking at what's being done to them in terms of looking at the exchange. So while looking at using TEFCA to access data for supporting research or supporting investigation is a great and good use, I think it's also important to highlight how everyone can use TEFCA as a patient for their own benefit.
Absolutely. Those are all great comments that you mentioned, Ike. And Anna, I see your hand. I just want to say one thing, because Anna will be the last comment before we go to public comment. What you said, Ike, was actually some of my observations about these five stories as well. What I would love to see is that each story actually kind of highlights some of the various different people within our country. So yes, as you were mentioning, it can be an adult, it can be pediatric, it can be, you know, people in which, you know, their preferred language is a non-English language. It can have more gender identity, diversity, all of those things, so that we can represent the American people in these each one of these story ideas. So that's one thing that I think that we do have an opportunity to make even more impactful with that as well. So I have some thoughts and I will provide those. And Anna, we'll go to you, and then we will talk about the next steps and go to public comment.
Hey there. I guess question is for this, for in the last, I remember working on the stories last year. So what would be the best way for us to give our input into the stories? And then secondly, even for like the crosswalk and topics, what would be the best way for us to give input into that? Because I know on the last HITECH meeting, I had some comments that I've not incorporated into the crosswalk because I'd missed a couple of meetings doing personal stuff. What's the best way to incorporate that kind of feedback?
So Anna, thank you so much for that transition question, because that's what I did want to cover during these last few minutes before public comment. So one, Michelle and Seth and the team will send out these story ideas to all of us here on the work group. Please move forward, and they will also give a deadline for when they need it back. Please move forward to include all of your various different thoughts and revisions. use track changes so that they can actually see what you're recommending. And then you'll send it directly back to Michelle. And we'll send this out because we have another administrative meeting right after this meeting to finalize exactly what this process will be. But we will send all of these stories and the crosswalk out to you. But the stories in particular, if we do need to kind of refine them or we have some other visions, and then you just submit your revisions as well as in-track changes back to Michelle Murray and the rest of the team that's supporting this work. In terms of the crosswalk is just about finished, but even during today's meeting, we heard that there were some small little tweaks or additional additions. So what I'm going to ask is that please go through the crosswalk in detail and provide all of your additional comments using track changes on the crosswalk. And again, Michelle and Seth will send that, and the rest of Excel team will send that out, because we do want everyone's comments, everyone's recommendations, so we can finalize that crosswalk, because it's time to start drafting the report. And so our next meeting, what we would have to do is look at all the additional revisions of both the crosswalk as well as the illustrative stories, so that we can wrap that up so that the team can start to write the report itself to get it back to us for review and revisions as well. Okay, so all great questions. We will send this, provide your feedback. We'll look at the incorporation, and then we as a work group, we will take a look at all of those different recommendations during our last meeting so that we can get it back to the ASTP team to continue to draft the report for us. Did that help everyone? Any additional questions on the process?
Thank you.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you for the question. All right, Seth, I think we are just about at public comment, so I will turn it on over to you.
Thank you, Madel. So we are going to open up the meeting for public comment at this time. If you are on the Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on your Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're participating by phone only today, you can press *9 to raise your hand, and then once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. While we give folks a few seconds to tee up with any public comments, just wanted to remind everyone that our next annual report work group meeting is going to be in 2 weeks on September 23rd, and that'll be from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then I will just check. We have no comments on the line at this point. And then let me just double check the Zoom. And we have no hands raised on the Zoom. So Madel and Elio, back to you for next steps and to close us out.
Oh, dude, I lost Elio. Elio, you want to start us off? Or I'm happy to start us off. And wonderful discussion today. Lots of great feedback and conversation. Really appreciate each and every single one of you. I'm looking forward to us meeting again. Actually, looking forward to us being on High Tech, and which we'll provide a quick overview of all the amazing work that each of you is contributing to. And then we will reconvene as a work group on the 23rd to put everything in a wonderful package with a bow. So thank you again for all of your hard work. Elio?
Thanks, everybody. That was quite a bit today, and great job staying calm and on target. I think we covered quite a bit. Appreciate your comments, and looking forward to see everyone soon for the High Tech meeting and in person as well. So thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. See you soon.
Bye.